everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here. We're Houston. We're the city of champions. How about I give you another champion? If you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. They're champions. Free consultations are available 24/7. Dial 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW and DaspitLaw.com.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with Dell for the next 3 hours here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. And while the Astros, obviously this series is pretty big, we're still in the first third of the season, so there's plenty of time. They're just 5.5 games back. Bigger story, that or Nico Collins yesterday?
Nico Collins. Although, it's so funny. We get this prep sheet, this Yard Barker prep sheet. And it's got stories, sports stories, stuff like that. And did you see what it said for the Texans?
No.
Texans signed offensive star to huge contract.
Oh, no.
It's a 3-year deal. It doesn't even hit $100 million.
Well, right. But I was with, you know, my buddy yesterday when it came down. He's like, wow, could be up to $75 million. I was like, yeah, that's the going right now. That's
not per year.
No. Not per year. This no, 25 a year. People are going like, what?
This isn't a big deal. This contract is a – the Texans got a – if the Texans waited another year, it goes up to $30 million. This is a smart thing.
Yeah.
This is what I thought they should do the whole time. They did a good job. Nick had money saved. He had money saved. He had a game plan. Everyone's freaking out. What are you doing in free agency? Remember the anger and disappointment in Nick Caserio because he didn't immediately run out and throw $200 million at somebody on the first day of free agency? And people are freaking out.
Yeah.
And, I mean, my gosh, you end up with Danielle Hunter, Danico Autry, who else? There was another. Who's the other one?
Mixon.
Aziz Al-Shaair, Al-Shaair, and then you end up saving enough money to get. I wish it was a longer extension, but what they've done is timed it with the end of the rookie contract for C.J. Stroud. So what that means is there's no guarantee now for, and I think. Honestly, so there's no guarantee for Nico Collins after this. Honestly, based on quarterback salaries going up to about $60 million a year soon, I think this is the new – there's a decision to be made. Do you want to pay a quarterback and a big wide receiver, or do you want to do what Green Bay did, move Devontae Adams, they needed to at some point, move Tyreek Hill, move A.J. Brown, and although A.J. Brown was not about a quarterback salary – are you going to do that and start reloading with wide receivers? And honestly, move your big receiver for a package of draft picks and redraft a wide receiver is actually the smart move if you think about it.
Why not keep on drafting wide receivers, good wide receivers? Yeah.
It's easier to do that in quarterbacks.
Yep, absolutely. And you can get, and there are plenty of them out there, too.
And you get talent back.
Yep.
You get, I mean, it's basically like an appreciating home. I mean, a first-round wide receiver, a second-round. Look at Tyreek Hill was a fifth-round wide receiver who turned into two firsts. I mean, I think it was two firsts. It was one first. Was it a second also, Dell? Something like
that. They got a lot of picks, but it was one first.
Yeah, but, I mean, he was an appreciating asset.
Yep. And, no, listen, I'm fine. To get 3 years for Nico is excellent. Yeah. I thought he was going to pull a Kyle Tucker and go, uh-uh. Not after last season. I'm going to have myself another big season, and I'm going to hit the market.
But he told
But he said, I'm know, not guys down say, money. I know.
He said, I'm not turning
guys
down money,
all
and
the
he's
time.
Not a, and he's not a diva.
No.
So he meant it. I'll take that money when it comes, and good job getting Nico Collins. You lock him in. I think it's pretty – I don't even know if it's a lock right now that Stephon Diggs is not back. I actually think now that you have Nico, a number figured out on Nico, and you still have rookie contract, if you wanted – it's a trial season. But if you wanted with Stephon Diggs, you might be able to do a two-year deal after this. Now, we're getting way ahead of ourselves, and I think Diggs is at an age where he could slow way down. But in this offense, I think it's – you know, it's going to be about his personality, not his play.
Right.
I think.
Well, yeah, and I hope that's all overrated. That's every question.
Hasn't been up to this point.
He's been productive, although he wasn't. Listen, the last 8-9 weeks of last season, Stephon Diggs wasn't very productive, especially for a team that really needed him to step up because there wasn't much else there. So I'm looking at a story here. How do AFC wide receiver groups stack up heading into the 2024 season?
Last year, the Texans were considered one of the worst in football.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Into the season, it was them and Tennessee.
Robert Woods. There was somebody else. Oh, John Mechie coming off of cancer. I mean, it was bad. It was considered bad.
So the Texans, and there's like... Like, we're not exaggerating how bad it is in Buffalo right now.
No, it's
when
bad.
Curtis Samuel is your main guy, and they're in some trouble. They are in some trouble. They got Khalil Shakir and Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and they're expected. They've got one guy that's got 75 plus targets, and that's Coleman. Samuel, and then the other two are 40 to 74.
And a rookie, Keon Coleman, who I think has got a chance to get 60 plus catches.
Like, well, he probably, yeah.
You look at this roster, how is he not going to get a bunch of targets?
Nope.
Valdez-Scantling's the guy who runs in a straight line. He's an all or nothing deep ball guy. He'll have four catches for 112 yards in a game or one catch for 13. That's all.
The Texans and Miami, not surprisingly, have the two best returning wide receiver groups in the AFC. Nico Collins, his this is expected points added per target. It's a lot of nerdy stuff. Expected points added per reception, catchable pass percentage, and overall reception percentage. So Nico Collins is up there. He's second in the league, expected points added per target with 0.64. He's 10th in the league, expected points added per reception. Catchable percentage, he's best in the league. Catchable percentage, best in the league. And receptions percentage, he's 5th in the league. He is green across the board, Nico Collins is. Tank is up there too, 7th in EPA per target, 7th in EPA per reception. Stephon Diggs, 40th, 49th, 42nd, and 28th. Stephon Diggs did not have a good season last season. He was actually not good. We know what Stephon Diggs can be, though. And I wonder if them getting, you know, taking, obviously they, it was a nice move for them, taking those added years off and just saying, hey, this is it. Go out and play. You're going to get the most you possibly can out of Stephon Diggs this year.
Yeah, now, because unlike, like, one thing we're finding out with baseball, a contract year, it's all good in theory, but that's a mental game. And baseball is much more fickle. In football and basketball, it's really just about getting volume. It's just about, you know, you're much less likely to have drastic ebbs and flows like you do in baseball. So the baseball contract year, well, I mean, we'll see how you hold up mentally too. Baseball is a sport where you go up and down. And as we're seeing with Alex Bregman, contract year doesn't mean anything a lot of times. Football and basketball, if you're still talented, it's probably going to be an average to above average year for you, more than likely.
Here is the.
But I just don't want Stephon complaining.
No,
because he wants all his targets.
That's a possibility. Here's the synopsis of all of those numbers and everything. Stephon Diggs, he only scored one TD. And he had a terrible EPA per target rate.
Wait, one TD?
One TD in weeks 10 through 18.
Okay.
Golly. That said, he certainly won't hinder the explosive offense with C.J. Stroud under center. I never thought I'd write, after Nico Collins' blah initial two seasons, that Diggs' presence should take some attention off Nico Collins, too. Maybe Diggs will eat into Collins' production. still, there's no denying Stroud's connection with Collins because they put up some tremendous numbers. And what if Tank Dell? With the tight ends, including Stover that you just added, you've got three top receivers, potentially top receivers, in not only in the division, in the league, in those three, in Diggs, Collins, and Tank. You've got Joe Mixon who's catching. There's not enough footballs. There's just not enough footballs.
We'll figure it out. Me and Bobby are going to figure some stuff out.
Wow, you and Bobby. See?
If we're on a plane again, I'll talk to him about it. Wow. If we sit next to each other,
Dell,
I'll say.
Surprisingly, Lance has added himself to the conversation.
No, I'm just saying, I'm trying to get us more footballs. Have you ever sat next to Bobby Slowick and talked football?
I haven't. And
yes.
Did he have a great year afterwards?
Well, it was after the, I don't know. I mean, it was the combine.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
So it was this year.
Oh, so you really didn't have anything to do with last year's success?
No, I didn't. Not with last year's, but.
Per se.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, if I sit next to him, I'll share your concerns or whatever. Like, John says there's not enough footballs, Bobby.
Well.
And I'll say, who's John? And I'll say, John Granato. And I'll say, Wendy's husband?
Yes. Yeah.
I'll say, yeah. He goes, he plays golf. What do I care?
Yeah. No,
just
he does.
Tell him, just keep golfing. Well,
he doesn't throw frisbees around, but okay.
Keep golfing, we'll be fine. He goes, and I respect the fact that you're making disc golf a big thing, Lance. Yeah. And I'll say, thank you. I called Nico Collins. I'm looking at my write-up. Because I really liked him, but he only had 1 year in college, and he took a COVID year off.
And he's had 1 year now.
And I said, Collins shines with his ability to track the deep ball and land 50-50 catches. He's got good build-up speed. I put his size, hands, and competitive nature give him an advantage on contested catches underneath. He struggles to slip press coverage and has issues ridding himself of coverage unless he's getting vertical. Despite his frame, he struggles to uncover on intermediate routes. Could bother teams looking for a three-level target. Well, he plays on an offense that you don't have to – it's not about slowing your feet and breaking. It's about keeping your feet moving on over routes. Like, this is a big advantage for guys with build-up speed like him. This is the perfect offense. But I said, Collins must improve his route acumen to open his catch window a little wider, but he has the size, feel, toughness, and ball skills to become a future chain mover as a wide receiver too. I would say I undersold him based on what we saw from last year. I think he is a legitimate wide receiver one. I mean, he's being paid like it.
Well, now, listen, he did not show that in his first 2 years. He just didn't.
I mean, come on. He got loveyed, he got cullied, and he got
that's true.
Davis'd.
That is true. He got Davis'd. I mean,
the whole team was stinky.
Yeah. But his emergence last year, and listen, a lot of it happened after Tank too. That's why if it's going to be interesting to see how he distributes the football. Tank was, what did Tank have? 7 touchdowns last year? I mean, in however many, Tank has got a chance to be especially with those two guys, that the attention that they're going to get. Well, you don't have enough defensive backs to cover all these guys. There is not a team in the league that has enough defensive backs to cover all this.
Right.
All right.
It's going to be tough.
Along with Dalton Schultz?
It's going to be tough. You don't have a pure speed guy. Tank is a quick guy. Nico is a build-up speed guy down the field. So you can't have small corners on him. And Stephon Diggs, I think, is just going to become a really wily possession guy underneath, I think is what he is. But in this offense with Bobby Slowick, I mean, it's set up. It's funny. Somebody made a comment. Mina Kimes had a comment that Dan Dackich, who is he's with Outkick, the coverage, or Outkick now, and he was formerly, he's been an ESPN. Dan is a really angry guy now.
Yeah.
Angry, angry guy. And Mina Kimes had something to say about the Colts. It was pretty just standard, that A.D. Mitchell was really going to help them. And Dackich hates Chris Ballard, hates him, the general manager. And so he's like, no words. He retweeted what Mina said, no words. And I listened to it, and I'm like, this is all accurate stuff. And I said, I'm trying to figure out what exactly, and I even tweeted this, I'm trying to figure out what exactly here is not accurate. This is all pretty basic stuff she said that was accurate. And then, I don't know, somehow it devolved into somebody in the, she had made a comment about that the offense of Shane Steichen helps quarterbacks. And some guy said in the comments said, This is the most ridiculous and overrated thing that's said. Offensive coordinators can't help quarterbacks. And I'm like,
what?
First of all, absolutely they can. There's absolutely such thing as no, it's about reading defenses and this, that, and the other. I said, look, like Bill O'Brien's offense is a very complicated offense. It requires a bunch of reads. Bill O'Brien would tell you that. It takes a lot to run his offense. You look at the Mike Shanahan tree of who all the coaches are now. Kyle Shanahan, Sean McVay, all these, they all are favorable to quarterbacks. Hmm. And this is a favorable offense that allows you to get the most, I think, out of quarterbacks and wide receivers.
Yep.
So we'll see.
Well, no, that's stupid. That you can't offensive coordinator can't help. Come on, stop it. All right, let's break, and we'll talk Astros baseball on the other side. We got Presley again. We'll do it. Well, on the other side,
well,
right here.
Not just him. They played the hits last night.
Yeah, they did. Why don't you talk a little QC?
QC Kinetics is for people who have pain that they're having a hard time getting away from. It's the chronic pain. It's the pain. A lot of times people have it in their knees and their hips, and that's just two of the places. I've got some issues with my ankle right now. But when you have that pain, it's because you have tissue that is damaged or lost. And sometimes you've got a wearing down of tissue. And it's not always just wear and tear. A lot of times it can be just degenerative. It can be something that runs in the family. What QC Kinetics does is they have regenerative medicine. This is not the shot that gives you the temporary relief. It's not the surgery or the pain medicine. And what we're talking about is real relief that is going to last for you, where they regenerate lost tissue. They restore damaged tissue. And so what happens is your joint becomes healthier. It's less inflamed. The pain goes way down. The mobility goes up. You can start living that active life outside again. And here's the great thing is it happens very quickly with QC Kinetics. It can happen a lot of times after just one treatment. So make sure that if you're thinking about the old methods that don't work as well, go with the method that is tried and true, and that's regenerative medicine. QC Kinetics, 4 locations here in Houston. Set up your free consultation online, QCKinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Can we give Joe Espada props this morning for starting Hunter Brown in this game?
Man, you know, Hunter Brown, Hunter Brown, that could have turned into a disaster in the first
game. Yeah.
Rodriguez ran himself out of a second to third, just goofed it. Totally Altuve'd it on the base pass or Springer'd it. And more, that's really more
that's Altuve.
Yeah. And then Springer's just good at getting picked off or caught stealing. Altuve does that kind of stuff on the base pass. And then you had,
He out-dueled Castillo.
No, he did. And so he had the bottom dropping out of that change. Like that, he added that. They talked about it on broadcast. He went and added another pick, yeah. And it's really made a difference. He was working up and down in the zone for the first time. Well, that's not the first time, but I thought he did a really nice job of changing eye levels, something that I know Strom was big into, and Josh Miller's been big into. It's the Astros' way. They like to really change your eye level on you. And I thought he did a nice job of doing that. Hunter Brown has added. I've got a little more confidence in him. I'm starting to see some stuff now. I got more confidence in him than Christian Javier.
Well,
who's not even
around. He's not around.
However, that's the good news.
Okay,
Nine strikeouts.
Is it more Presley, or is it Abreu playing first base? Why?
Yeah, but Presley sucked.
Chandler Rome put out this. This is for nerds. This is the breakdown, the nerd breakdown of the eighth inning. Jose Abreu could not field a 95.7 mile per hour ground ball that had a 200 expected batting average. Only 8 out of 10 times he should have made that play. 8 out of 10 times. Alex Bregman threw away another hit at 60.6 miles per hour, which he tends to do. I know he looked at the plate. He wanted to go home, so he stuttered, and then he threw the ball away, which was, It didn't matter because once they scored the third run, it was over anyway.
They had the pass ball, which turned into
the
a wild pitch.
The pass ball was... Yeah.
But it got changed to wild pitch.
Yeah, but it was a pass ball.
It was a pass ball. It was super terrible defense mixed with bad pitching, mixed with a lack of hitting for the game.
God, that is so un-Astro. Eighth inning, you're falling apart like that. And I don't know. Is it Ryan Pressly or is it... I don't know. It just is. It just
was hanging them.
It was just a meltdown.
Yeah, it's just not their year. They're now down seven. They've lost three of the last four.
They're down five. They're 5.5 behind. Yeah.
How are you down 5.5?
They're 5.5 behind. They're seven games under 500 and 5.5 out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but it's not showing any signs of getting better.
Well, it'll get better today with Verlander on the mound. And then you got to, if you win these.
I mean, you're going against Kirby, who is one of the nastiest pitchers in the league.
And Verlander's really a Hall of Famer. Top 10 strikeouts in all of baseball.
And you know what? And Abreu is an former MVP.
That's right. Abreu is. Look at the back of his baseball card. Apparently, you haven't looked at the back of his. Is it stupid that he's playing Abreu at first base with Singleton DHing?
Yes, it is.
Is it stupid?
It is.
What
it
are
is.
You doing?
This is, it is. The better defensive player is Singleton.
Yeah. I mean,
because you know what? Espada can't bring himself
to
say.
It could be two games in a row. Listen.
You know why? Espada can't, like, I can't fathom putting a 105 hit. He was 106. He's 104 now. This shows you how bad he is. He's 0-for-3, and it's so low, his batting average, it moved like 1 point. Like, he's got to just be, he's got to be 0-for-10 to move down below his batting average now. It's so low. Espada, can you imagine if Espada had to write in?
What are you playing?
The end of the road.
What?
It's the end of the road.
So that we come to the end.
He did have, oh, I don't know if you heard, but how about this? This is, they had six straight games where they've only scored in one inning.
Could be end of the road for the Astros.
Six straight games.
I'm just playing it for Abreu.
Yeah, I didn't know.
They are.
I thought this was just an Abreu song. This is an Astros song.
They are scoreless in 48 of the last 54 innings that they batted. Scoreless. They've scored in every, for the sixth consecutive game, they've only scored in one inning. That's got to be a world record. Right?
Who was it who got your runs yesterday?
Bregman.
Uh-huh. How did Yordan do?
Yeah, Yordan had a couple of hits. He looked good.
Yordan came around a little
bit. But you know what? He moved Bregman down to fifth in the order. What does Bregman do? Homer. Mm-hmm. Leave him there. You don't have to put him back just because he homered. Leave him there.
But where's everybody else? Dude, what? Where's the runs?
If Kyle Tucker's hitting, nobody else is. If Altuve's on, nobody gets on. Nobody can knocks him in. If Kyle Tucker hits a homer, it's a solo homer.
Now that we come.
I mean, and we only can score in one inning. One inning. That is so amazing to me.
I can't believe the outside. We can't do any pitching.
I don't know what I'm going to do. I come to the end of the row. You hear him. He doesn't know what he's going to do. You don't know, John.
I can't believe we can't get any extra base hits or even driving runs when they're all base lay, baby.
Girl, I know Alex Bregman's hitting about 200. And the Yordan can't knock anyone in. I don't know the last time he even had a home run. But I'm sitting there looking at a player at first base who's hitting 104. I mean, 104 is lower than Machete was hitting. Damn. Girl, it was a long run. We had a lot of runs to the ALCS World Series runs. But, I mean, Christian Javier is hot ass right now. Now, we're relying heavily on a 41-year-old pitcher. And Joe Espada looks completely overwhelmed. We don't know what the hell. Jake Myers is the best hitter on the team. I mean, that's never a good sign, girl.
That is never a good sign. 725. Yes, this is the end of the road. I don't know that song, so I can't help you on this one. So, yeah.
He faded it all.
train, Kyle. Get prospects back. Try to DFA Jose Abreu again to see if he takes it this time. Why the hell did he go to Florida and keep playing on the team?
Got to break it here. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6. Time to talk about
that
my man.
Hit harder that time,
man. My man Kent Jones. He was. He called me yesterday. As a matter of fact, he is so excited about the 97.5 listener. Y'all are responding, and here's the deal: is if you have, if you not not when, how often do you buy a house? Okay, so you're gonna when you buy a house, keep dream rate in your when you're gonna buy a house, you need that mortgage company. I didn't even know who my mortgage got. The title, I don't know who put it all. I have no idea. We never even knew. Didn't know. We got a mortgage company? Yeah, I guess. Okay, so you go and you sign the papers. It's important that you have a mortgage company that is going to actually work for you, that is actually not going to just throw this fee, that fee, this fee, that fee. What they're going to try to do is get rid of this fee, that fee, that fee, and save you in thousands of dollars in some cases. I could tell you, I'm not allowed to tell you, what one listener that just did a deal with Kent did, how much they saved, where they saved. I'm not allowed to because of the mortgage game and the advertising and all this stuff. All I can tell you is that it was a sweet, sweet deal for them. And it was all because of Kent and how hard he worked for him. 29 years in the business, the ultimate mortgage hookup. If you're going to buy a home, you need a mortgage broker. And that's Kent at DreamRate. 713-520-5626, 713-520-LOAN or 975loans.com.
DreamRate Mortgage, LLC, NMLS number 248-2473. J. Kent Jones, NMLS number 356118.
ESPN. 97.5.
You are listening to Houston's longest-running sports radio morning show. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
22111. Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Yeah, the T-Wolves, they came back last night and they won it 105-100. They did the things that they were supposed to do. They didn't mess up. I didn't realize this. Did you know the T-Wolves have had a lead in the last 3 minutes of every game in this series?
Dell talked about it yesterday.
Oh yeah, I didn't listen to it.
And then three of them turned into losses.
Whatever he said.
Dell was making
a lot
point.
Of times when
maybe
he's talking.
Take in some of my information. It might help you. I mean, it won't always help you, but sometimes it.
Nah,
we
it
were
will.
Talking about how the T Wolves like have actually not played bad in the games at all.
No, but they haven't been the T Wolves.
They don't finish.
They just well. For the first time in this series, well, not for the first time in the series, but yesterday with Gobert and Cat on the floor at the same time, they were plus 17 when they were minus 4 in the first three games. So
what happened?
Yeah, so they were playing more, and they stopped Dallas from getting points in the paint. That was the difference. How in the world Dallas is getting all these points and beating them in points in the paint and rebounds is ridiculous.
Well, one of the reasons is Kyrie has been getting into the lane, and
yeah, but Rudy Gobert should be there.
Yeah, but they're pulling Rudy out.
Well, that's dumb. There you go. Yeah, how dumb that is.
Well, and that's
well, he has to guard someone.
Well, he has to guard someone, and this is the argument against. See, and this is the argument against the Steven Adams and so some people make this argument against your boy Alperen Şengün. They'll make the argument that Alperen defensively stinks. You can pull him away from the basket. They'll say this. This is the argument against Zach Edey, is that, you know, Zach Edey can be pulled away from the basket, can't defend on the perimeter. I don't think it's enough for me. The crossovers, what impact does a player have on the offensive end? Gobert doesn't have much of an impact offensively, but he has a big impact defensively. The slandering of Rudy Gobert has been a little excessive, I think. You know, this guy is Kendrick Perkins said, the biggest disgrace of my entire life has been voting for him for Defensive Player of the Year. I really regret it. I wish I could get my vote back. He's a good defensive player. I mean, the guy was guarding. They switched on Luka, and then, Luka, one of the great shot makers in the league, a guy who moves like a sloth and is somehow able to create separation and get shots. Oh, he shakes the 7'4" Rudy Gobert, 7'3" Rudy Gobert. I can't believe. Of course he does. there's not a lot of 7-3 guys who are going to be able to stick with a shot creator out of the, you know, at the top of the key. And then people acted like Rudy Gobert. Oh, he was cooked. Rudy sucks. That's not a natural. That's not a natural defensive alignment situation for a big. Gobert is what he is. And if you're able to, you know, one of the problems is they're able to pull him out because of Dallas's lineup. They're able to pull Rudy around and, you know, pull him out, and Kyrie gets in the lane and finishes. But Minnesota, if Chris Finch is worth his, you know, if he's worth his contract, he'll make some adjustments and find ways to make it harder.
Well,
and
finally,
yesterday they did. But Karl-Anthony Towns didn't play like a giant push yesterday.
No, he didn't. He actually hit threes. And
well,
yeah,
I mean, he did shoot from prayer. He's still going to be soft. His
but
game
he made him
fun.
He, yeah. Well, you look a lot better when you're making your shots. And he made his shots yesterday, which was nice. And you know, yeah, they actually, this series should be 2-2. I mean, the way that they've fallen apart in the last 3 minutes of these games has been ridiculous. Although, you got to give Dallas credit for stepping up. But this goes back to Minnesota now, and then back to Dallas, and then back to Minnesota. So we'll see. We'll see whether or not this can hit. You know, it's a little scary after you lose one game. And I fully expect I expect Minnesota to win in Minnesota. No? You guys expect Minnesota to win this next game?
Yeah, I do.
And then it gets a little scary.
Then it gets we'll see if the things tighten up, but I think Dallas wins in six now.
Mm-hmm. I think Dallas, I think it goes back to Dallas for game six and they win there. Although they're going to start to tighten up a little bit if Minnesota wins this next game. 713-780-3776 is the number if you want to get in here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We also had, now, apparently there's a new all-time OPS leader, and he hasn't been around a long time. So Josh.
Oh.
No. Who is it? Gibson.
Josh Gibson.
Josh Gibson.
Yeah.
It's the new Major League Baseball OPS king.
Yeah. Well, yes, he is. Over 1,100.
Yes.
Career.
Even though he didn't play in the majors when he had that OPS. Mm-hmm. That's, so now Negro League stats are now Major League. Mm-hmm. Can be Major League records now.
Yep, and they're counting that, and Major League Baseball acknowledges that one of the reasons for that is that a primary reason is that they were their exclusionary practices in Major League Baseball. That's a tricky one, because how do you make it a Major League stat? You know what I mean? And then I have seen the argument by Howard Bryant, by actually black writers have argued that they've argued this in the past when this subject has come up, that they don't like the idea. That they like the idea that they think it whitewashes history, and they like the idea that it stays separate so that people can always acknowledge what Major League Baseball and what society did with Negro League Baseball. So it's an interesting one. I would think that would be something that would make historians maybe happier, but historians aren't really about your feelings. They're about what is true history, and true history is the Negro Leagues are a separate part of history that you acknowledge and you recognize that they were excluded, and they had the barnstorming tours, and there was all kinds of, you know, it's got its own history. I think it's a little bit strange to include historically, and because there's also a new batting chance.
Yeah, I don't like it. I mean, to me. You're trying to rewrite history just to I don't know, make yourself feel better about yourself, or I don't know what I don't understand this. Listen, Josh Gibson was great. We know that. Josh Gibson played in a different league than Major League Baseball. Josh Gibson's numbers, I mean, I don't get it.
I know what they're doing, but does it really make sense? Because the Negro Leagues are greatly appreciated, have their Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
It is historically, any of us who are sports fans know all about the Negro Leagues, the barnstorming tours. I mean, if you've, it's not like this has been hidden. This story has been written, and a lot of us have heard it and understand it and know it, and we recognize what happened with Major League Baseball.
But it is almost like you just want to try to make yourself like
you're trying to.
Make yourself feel better.
Yeah,
or,
yeah.
You're trying to be inclusionary, which. But like I said, there's black writers who say no. This whitewashes history. Now they said this in 2020, so I don't know what the latest take on this would be.
So 4 years later, they might be have a different take, or maybe
you never. That was Howard Bryant. I don't know. Somebody else wrote something.
Well, I mean, everybody's got their own opinion. Gary's got an opinion on it. Okay. Let's get Gary in here. Gary, what do you think about this?
Yeah, hey guys, man. Hey, thank you guys for taking my call once more and proving the point. Look, for so long, African American baseball players had been trying to break into the major league, but they had a barrier, which is called the color barrier.
Right.
I know Lance just said so many black writers or a few black writers put names on it. I've never heard. I'm not saying it. I'm not in the media.
I just said Howard Bryant.
Let me finish.
Okay.
Let me finish.
Yeah,
please.
You got it.
You can give me ten black writers. It does not matter if you give me 100 black writers. The overwhelming number of people and people who wanted us to be integrated way back when. What's making this uncomfortable or what's making this confusing or muddying the water is when you guys get on there and it's the same and then kind of matriculate around this thing. You know what? I don't know why they're doing this and this and this and this. And a couple of black writers don't speak for all the black writers. Make it right, just like the 40 acres and a mule that God deserved. We couldn't play in the majors because they didn't want us in the majors because of things like this. To prove, like, the athletic and the smart and the prowess that we have. And so we want to keep it separate, but we want to be inclusive also. We have been trying to knock down that color barrier, just like for football, just like for quarterbacks. You don't want us there because the natural inclination is that they would dominate in those positions. And it makes it uncomfortable. Let's just enjoy the ride.
Well,
we've been out of everything. They're just starting to get quarterbacks in there now. And we're showing you we can play quarterback. We don't just run, jump, and dance. Those guys deserve to be there. Josh Gibson is great, and it's erasing all of the of what your history. That's what it is.
No, I think, okay, I'll just say, appreciate the phone call, Gary. So the writers, I mentioned Howard Bryant. I'm just mentioning something that I'm reading today. I didn't even know this was – So Howard Bryant had so Kavitha Davidson had a discussion with Howard Bryant, who talked about who feared this absorption would amount to whitewashing history. Clinton Yates, another black writer, had an opinion piece at Anscape from 2020 that was also illuminating on this. I'm just giving you something that I read today, which I didn't know, Gary. I think you read too much into some things sometimes. I'm giving you a piece that was in here, which I had never heard this. I didn't know this was even honestly. A thought. I didn't even know that there were black writers and baseball historians who want Negro League separate so they get their own shine individually. It doesn't really matter that much to me from a baseball history standpoint. I'm not this history buff. I mean, I know baseball. This doesn't bother me anyway, and I fully understand why black players weren't included. It was the color barrier. You're 100% right on that.
Yep.
I think John and I were just asking about you are including stats in the league, and they were, but you can't rewrite history. Like they were.
No, that's what I'm saying. Listen, being inclusive now, Gary. Yes, were they inclusive then? No. So to me, you're changing history. Saying that Josh Gibson got the all time leader in Major League Baseball with his OPS and his slugging percentage is changing history. It didn't happen. He didn't hit that in Major League Baseball. He hit that in the Negro Leagues.
So
they weren't included. So that is part of our history, that blacks were not included. Now they're included, and we're saying, Gary, you're absolutely right. It's great. Quarterbacks and other you're absolutely right. But the fact of the matter is, at that time in this country, that wasn't the case.
What doesn't make
me... Here's my question. Josh Gibson was great. Would he have hit that in Major League against Major League pitching?
No, he wouldn't have. And it's the same argument that would Babe Ruth have done what he did against if all the Negro League players were in? Like, if you make one argument, then you have to make it for everybody across the board. Babe Ruth wouldn't have, Ty Cobb wouldn't have, Josh Gibson wouldn't have. Nobody would have if the whole thing would have been.
Yeah, to me, you're just it changes history. And we can't rewrite history. It's what happened. History is what happened. And Josh Gibson did not hit those, did not hit in Major League Baseball. So he shouldn't have Major League Baseball records.
But he should be acknowledged, and you can acknowledge him as a hit king if you want.
He could be your hit king. He can be. He may be.
Wow, Del.
Everybody's got a different. He was the Negro League. He was the Negro League hit king. He wasn't the Major League Baseball hit king. No. He just wasn't.
Or maybe you say he's a professional baseball hit king. I don't know how you want to couch it.
Okay.
Yeah. Maybe you acknowledge the Negro Leagues as a professional league that's on par with Major League Baseball.
Just like basketball Hall of Fame.
The NFL is the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's not the NFL Hall of Fame. It's the Pro Football and Pro Basketball Hall of Fame. It's not the NFL Hall of Fame.
Yes, so if you didn't play in the NBA, you still have a good shot of making the Hall of Fame, and maybe that should be how they treat.
Yes, now that just changing the word,
the professional baseball hit king. Yes,
yeah, that makes it much more inclusive.
And he may be the greatest hitter
ever. Because MLB is a specific league, Gary. Like I said, I think we're on your side here. It's just that the problem is, if you say professional baseball, all of a sudden I have no issues with that. That's accurate. MLB, you're putting him in a league that he wasn't in.
I'd love how we try to rewrite history. This is what happened. And you know what? I don't know if we should be ashamed of it. We didn't have any part of it. It's how America was at that time. And it was awful and it was wrong and all of these things. All of those things. But we can't change what had happened.
No, because what it does is it allows a generation it's really not going to be this. It's easy to say that, but I think kids today are not going to go all the way back into history. They don't care. They already think anything that happened 20 years ago or more was terrible and was didn't matter and was awful and was against plumbers. But now there were plumbers who played probably back then in major leagues when Negro leagues, and they had to because they didn't get paid enough. Yeah, second baseman in Major League Baseball did some plumbing back then. Yeah,
right.
There was some field work as well. Now then, you played against farmers and insurance salesmen in Major League Baseball back in the 20s.
No, you absolutely did. All right, we got to talk right now about were there any doctors playing? Yes, we know that from Field of Dreams.
Oh, okay, yeah,
yeah, we know that there were. Ellis. Doc Ellis.
Ellis pitched a no-hitter on acid.
On acid.
And I think he was a doctor.
Doc Manavese won't do that. Doc Manavese won't work on your prostate
on acid. Never.
I promise you that. I can guarantee you that is not going to happen. Doc Manavese is going to give you an IV. Other doctors are going to want to cut inside you, put tubes in your private area, and run them up, and then have a blade open up and cut your prostate. This is something you never, ever, ever want to do in your life, ever. Doc Manavese will give you an IV. That's the extent of the pain, the needle that goes in you so that she can give you the IV. That's the extent of it. So if you're someone with an enlarged prostate, the only person that you should see is Doc Manavese at Access Vascular Health. 975prostate.com. If you want to get checked up to see whether or not you feel like you got the symptoms, you need to do it because it can get dangerous with your liver and kidneys and everything else. So what you need is 975prostate.com, 975prostate.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
So, Del feels like is there perfect balance in the world, though?
Yeah, for us nerds who were into the Infinity Saga, Thanos was always about there needs to be a perfect balance. It was his reasoning for eliminating half the universe. So we have Gary. The perfect balance would be
Thanos was an ethnic cleanser?
No, not ethnic. Everyone could go.
He was a cleanser?
Everyone could get some, yeah.
Mm. Wow.
So we have Gary, so we need a balance.
We got a balance?
Yes.
John is joining us now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What's up, John?
Oh, not much. Just wanted to follow up with Gary. You know, my favorite baseball era was the 80s, and that was the peak of black participation. It was like 21%, 23%. But for him to say that they were afraid, and they probably were afraid back then that they would dominate baseball. But the fact is, they make up 6% of the league right now, and there's only about two black players on each team. So to say that blacks are dominant in baseball is just false narrative. And the fact is, like you've said before, those stats were not made in this league. Those aren't, you know, Major League Baseball stats. They're just doing this to make themselves feel better. Not sure what this is all about. Didn't hear anything about this till this morning when Good Morning America mentioned it. So I'm not sure where they're going with this, but it's not the same league. I guess Sadahara O, we should add the Japanese league as well, because that's professional, and he had 868 home runs. So now he's the home run king, right?
Well, he wasn't excluded from Major League Baseball, but they would have if he tried to come up. Well, no, not when Sadahara O played. He just didn't come over. John, this is very – thanks for the call. This is very clearly – what they're doing is it's because black players were excluded from Major League Baseball history. They were excluded from major leagues, and so they want to be inclusive of the numbers. I think what Dell said is right. It's a professional baseball thing.
And then Sadahara O can be included. If it's in the history of professional baseball, Sadahara O would have the most home runs.
If it's international, I think they're keeping it inside the states, and they're acknowledging – Major League Baseball acknowledged – In the press release, they acknowledge these players, through no fault of their own, were kept out of the league. They're kept out because of the color of their skin.
Yeah.
I mean, it was not the player's fault. And so they want to be exclusionary. But as you mentioned,
sometimes
history is.
But he didn't hit in the major league. So how could he have the major league record?
Yeah. That,
maybe the professional baseball record.
Yeah. Okay. You certainly acknowledge the sport and all that. But, John, what the racial makeup of Major League Baseball right now in 2024, I don't see what that has to do with baseball in the 30s and 20s.
That's literally
almost 100 years ago.
Yeah.
So I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Well, yeah. I don't know. Listen, it's because there's a lot of economic reasons why there's only 6% African American participation in Major League Baseball, because there's the fact that there aren't as many baseball fields in African American neighborhoods as there are in whiter neighborhoods. It's just not.
It's a more wide open, and there's some people who there are a lot of people who just think baseball's boring. They're not drawn. Youth in general, there's different youth who are not drawn to baseball because it's considered a slower, more boring sport. It's a hugely Latin American sport now.
Yep.
Hugely.
Yep. There's a lot more opportunity to play baseball in Latin American countries than there is here in African American communities.
Sport.
Absolutely, a lot more. I mean, they've got baseball is a dominant sport in their countries, and it's not here anymore. It's just not.
But that has nothing to do with Negro Leagues.
No.
That's a whole different.
Yeah, he's
like that's a whole different argument. The Negro Leagues.
I don't know
why
we're bringing 2024.
I blame you guys for this. Show's going on in a relatively fun fashion.
We played
Into the Road.
Yeah, it's
Lance pretended to be part of Boys to Men. We're having a grand old time. They had to bring up something from the Negro Leagues and baseball.
It is a story from yesterday, Dell.
That's all we are is an information center here.
And now we got Gary, your biggest fan, Lance, and John.
Was Gary dislike?
We were having so much fun.
Yeah, he always goes after Lance.
I don't know what I do. Gary thinks that I've got some kind of secret little that I'm always trying to sneak in.
Every time you say something.
Quarterback.
Yeah. Black quarterbacks come
maybe
up.
Maybe in here, Lance, we don't sing and dance and jump. We don't just do that.
Would you like someone to do some soft shoe for you, Lance?
I know. I mean,
wow.
Well, who would you get for that, Dell?
Yeah.
I would ask Gary. Who do you think Lance would get
who
for that?
Who would you like, Dell?
Well,
I don't want anyone to do that.
Yeah, it's Lance, not the whitest guy on the show.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I would use palest.
Okay.
Hold on. I wouldn't use whitest.
Not even close.
No, yours is more olive, only because of.
Well, olive.
You rub olive oil.
Well, I wouldn't do.
Because I'm Greek and Italian.
No,
there's
a difference between palest and whitest. If we're talking about whitest,
he's whitest.
John's the whitest.
No.
Yes.
That's there's no.
Yes.
Whitest? Are you kidding me?
Yes.
Lance, I mean, and really, he overdoes it, but he talks about hip hop and stuff at a level that puts you at the whitest person.
Yeah,
on the show.
Easily.
Oh, wait a minute. So and if you talk about hip hop, then you're not.
Sorry,
then yes. you're then you're not white
it's
anymore.
Part of the equation.
You said I don't even know Boys to Men. Come on,
he didn't even know Boys to Men.
That's the easy one.
That makes you very white.
That's an easy one.
I didn't know. I don't know a lot of music. I don't know a lot of white music.
Yeah, but Boys to Men still. Boys to Men is Boys to Men.
True. Yeah. Not a big music guy.
Not a man. Yeah, not a big music guy. Let's get Spencer in here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about
golfs and pokers.
Joe Espada, which is very, very multicultural. Both of those things. What's up, Spencer?
Yeah. So I was pretty annoyed about the series coming in because, you know, Espada just, it seems like every game he makes a mistake that is just mind-numbingly frustrating. And, you know, on Sunday, bringing in Hader with a four-run lead made no sense. That's probably the sixth or seventh or eighth time he's brought in Hader unnecessarily. And then, you know, when the team announced that they were activating Abreu, I fundamentally cannot even wrap my brain around it if the season is about winning games. And to activate him in advance of the biggest series of the season so far makes no sense. And he has started the first two games at first base. And it's inexcusable. It's just that simple. I mean, you're putting him in the order ahead of Chaz, Dubon, and Loperfido, and you're putting him in the field ahead of Singleton. There's no excuse for it. And I just don't understand it. It's unbelievable how far this organization has fallen in 2 years. You know, when Click got fired, Bagwell, you know, made some, you know, salty comment about how baseball is played by humans, not computers. And here we are. And it's mind-numbingly frustrating. And, you know, I know some people think Espada shouldn't get ejected or shouldn't do something like that. But, I mean, last night we were the benefit of a blown call. And it was not a reviewable play.
Yep.
And Espada comes out and is like, hey, fellas, you know, I think you made a mistake. And they're like, go sit down. He's like, okay, I guess I'll go sit down.
He argued a little bit this time, Spencer. He had a little bit, but not much. Not much. And you're right, it turned into a double play.
So not much. And people sit there and say, well, what do you want to see? You see him get ejected? I want to see him do something. And he makes terrible lineup decisions. And when he's starting Abreu, at least show you're paying attention. And then it's just I can't believe how mind-numbingly frustrating it is to see him do what he does almost every single game when he was supposed to be a spotalytics, and instead we're sitting there with Abreu at first base. It just every day that he's on the roster tells me the Astros this season don't care about winning games. And I guarantee you that is permeating the locker room.
I don't think that that's the case. Whatever. I think, well, I don't know. And Spencer, appreciate it. You've taken it further than I have. I don't like some of his decisions. I would love to see him be more fiery. When I went to see my cousin coach the Buffalo Sabres at Dallas Stars, there was a guy sitting right behind me that was screaming at my cousin, Granato, you suck. We just had a power play and didn't score. Do something. And I was like, what would you like him? Do you want him to get some skates out? What exactly do you want him to do? They have not scored in the last 54 innings. They have not scored in 48 of them. I don't know how you put that on them. You got to come up with some clutch hits. I know, is the batting order that bad? He actually, Abreu in the last two games, actually came up with a hit that had an RBI, which is something I want to tell you, most of the guys in the lineup haven't done over the last two games. He at least had a hit that led to a run, which only happened two other times. Myers did it and Bregman did it. That's it. So while they're not playing good baseball and doing, you know, do you want them to take Bregman out of third? Because Bregman threw that ball away, right? You want them to take Diaz out from behind the plate because the pass ball happened with Diaz. Abreu, yes, at first base, I think is stupid. Maybe it is affecting the locker room because you're like, really? We're on a roll. Jose Abreu isn't here. And then you take Singleton off and we're making errors at first, really?
But do we believe that's an organizational decision or a spotted decision?
I think that might be an organizational decision. Now, they said it's up to Joe to put the lineup out there.
Okay.
When you got a guy like Jose Abreu who's got the baseball card, when he's got the baseball card, I think
that's going to haunt him forever.
Yeah. You go and see if he can do it. If he's in the Singleton's at first, if Singleton's not a first today, it's the dumbest thing. And you know what? Then you, I think you're right. You get all over him, Spencer. I think you do. But Joe Espada is not the reason that Spencer's this team is wrong. As bad as it is.
The third base umpire made a call. While it may have been the wrong call, it's his call to make, and it's not a reviewable play, and they overruled it with a guy who doesn't have the call. And, I mean, okay, if I'm being objective, at least they got the call right. But if you follow the protocols, the Astros got screwed, and Joe didn't really lose his stuff.
He needs to lose his mind. I agree wholeheartedly. He doesn't have enough passion. Not to defend his players. He's not doing that. And that is, I think that's the number one thing. This Jose Abreu thing sucks. I think it's, but I think it's more organizational. You got to talk about Underdog.
Well, I don't have to. I get to. I'm happy to, because yesterday, you know, you had Carl Anthony Towns going higher than his point total, points and rebounds. And this is a great way. You're sitting there watching playoffs like me, and then, you know, I'm winning because I'm going higher and lower correctly, because I've been following this. If you follow playoff series, this is the best time to play Underdogs Pick'em, because in Pick'em, you pick between two and five players. You go higher or lower in the stats, and they have so many stats to choose from for every individual player. And you get the ebbs and flow of a series, and you're able to make good selections on high and low, and you have a chance to win money. Real money, it's completely legal here in the state of Texas, completely legal here in the state of Texas. And on top of that, it's real money. You can win up to 100 times your original play when you play those scorchers. Those scorchers help you multiply your winnings. So make sure that you're playing. Watch the games, but follow along. You can even mix and match your sports like baseball and basketball. You can mix and match them so that when you're flipping channels, you're also watching the plays that you have on the high and the low with their Pick'em Challenge. Daily fantasy is available for you, and season-long football is here. Yes, you've got drafts available right now at Underdog Fantasy. Use promo code Lance, and they are going to give you a special pick, a special mystery pick in the lobby of your Pick'em. And that special mystery pick, just give you a little hint, it's an automatic winner. You'll see what I mean when you sign up. Use promo code Lance. You must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms and conditions apply. If you feel like you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or go to ncpgambling.org.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey, everybody. It's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.